Most succession plans fall apart on a question nobody asked at the beginning. Not who takes over, not what it's worth, whether the thing being handed over actually belongs to the person handing it over. Today, I want to walk you through how advisor succession really works and the one check that decides whether you've got a plan or just a retirement date. Quick note before we get into it. Advisor Growth Lab is not a broker-dealer, and everything here is for educational purposes only. It's not individualized legal, tax, or investment advice. Every advisor's situation is different, so treat this as a map, not a set of directions. This one's for advisors in the back half of a career who've started wondering how this ends. We'll cover how a practice sale is supposed to run, the thing that decides whether you get to run one, the two timelines you're working against, and what your firm's retirement program actually offers. Start with the encouraging part because the mechanics here are genuinely good news. A healthy advisory practice is a sellable asset, and there's a whole population of younger advisors who would rather buy an established book than spend 10 years building one from scratch. The path is well worn. You find a successor inside the practice or outside it. You bring them in slowly, usually across a few years, so your clients get comfortable while you're still in the room. Then you get paid for what you built on terms you set in advance instead of terms set for you. Nothing exotic about any of it. The practices that transfer well all look the same. The successor showed up early, and the seller stayed long enough to vouch for the person taking over. The deals that go sideways are the rushed ones, where a retirement date arrived first and the planning happened backward from it. Every step of that path assumes one thing, though. It assumes the practice is yours to sell. That assumption fails more often than advisors realize. Succession is the transfer of an asset from one owner to the next, and you can't transfer what isn't yours. At many large firms, the client relationships and the account data belong to the institution. The advisor holds a career and a W-2. The firm holds the asset. You can't sell the firm's book. You can only walk away from it. I've watched people spend 2 years sketching a transition for something they never held title to, and that discovery almost always lands late. So run the test now. Pull your agreements and ask one direct question. When I leave or retire, what comes with me and what stays here? If the accounts stay, if the data stays, if the relationships stay, then the succession decisions belong to your firm. What you have is a retirement plan. That's a different animal from a succession plan. And the difference is the distance between selling a business and leaving a job. Say the ownership question comes back clean and the practice is yours. Who buys it? Usually a younger advisor who's done the math on what a decade of prospecting costs, or a successor already inside your practice. Sometimes another firm, often an established registered investment advisor, an RIA growing by acquisition. But the open market is the fallback, not the plan. A book marketed cold to a stranger transfers worse than one handed over gradually, because what's being sold is a set of relationships, and relationships don't follow a bill of sale. Clients follow trust. A buyer inheriting 500 households they've never met will lose some of them no matter how good they are, and any serious buyer builds that loss into the offer, which is why the strongest sales don't look like sales from the client's side. They look like a new advisor joining the team, sitting in on reviews, gradually taking the lead until the day you step back feels like paperwork. So when do you start? Earlier than the retirement date, and it helps to see this as two separate clocks. The first is a successor clock, finding the right person, bringing them in, letting your clients build trust across real review cycles. That runs a few years on its own, and it doesn't compress because the trust building is the product. Skip it and you haven't done a succession, you've done a reassignment. The second clock is the ownership clock. And if you don't own the practice, it hasn't started yet, no matter how good your successor is. Restructuring toward ownership is its own multi-year project. Choosing a model, moving the practice, repapering client relationships into a structure with your name on the title. The good news is that ownership stays available longer than most advisors assume. Plenty of people restructure late in their careers, precisely so there's finally something to pass on. And moving is ordinary at any stage. Diamond Consultants' annual transition report counted more than 11,000 experienced advisors changing firms in 2025, up about 16% from the year before. That report doesn't break its count down by career stage, so I won't pretend it says anything about age. What late movement takes is runway, which is the honest answer to the timing question. Start while a multi-year plan is still physically possible. Now, what about the firm program? Most large firms run some version of a sunset or retirement plan. You hand your clients to a successor chosen inside the firm, and the firm pays you a negotiated amount over a defined period. For an advisor with no appetite for running a business, that has real advantages. Your clients get continuity, and you get paid something real without ever carrying an owner's risk. The trade is the terms. In a firm program, the price, the payment schedule, and the list of eligible successors come from the program document, not from a market of competing buyers. These arrangements usually carry ongoing conditions too, like staying through a transition period or restrictions on contacting your former clients afterward. That document deserves the same slow read you'd give any sale agreement. None of which makes these programs bad. It makes them the firm's succession plan for the firm's asset offered to the advisor who built it. Some advisors price both sides honestly and decide the program fits. That's a win. Others decide to restructure while they still have the years. Either answer can be the right one. The only ending I'd call a genuine failure is finding out the terms for the first time in the meeting where you announce you're leaving. One more point before I wrap up. The thinking here, you can do yourself. The execution punishes improvisation, and you get one attempt at it. A real succession touches valuation, deal structure, how the proceeds get taxed, and the legal transfer of client relationships. Most advisors don't have a securities attorney on call, and that's exactly the gap to close before anything gets signed. Get the right people in your corner first, not after. I put together a one-page succession readiness check that walks you through the ownership question and the two clocks. It's free on our website at advisorgrowthlab.com. The six-question assessment is right there with it, and in a couple of minutes, it'll tell you whether you've got something you can pass on. Find out what you own before you plan what you'll sell. Clear eyes first, the move second. I'll see you tomorrow.